I was a young warthog.
Coming up on TMS, birthdays.
Justin Lin goes back to TV.
Elon Musk has a plan.
Toilets are haunted.
Brad Pitt spills some deets.
Netflix gets ambitious.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
It happened before. It will happen again.
Go get him! Ha!
You are listening to Adele Dazeem.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the morning stream for Wednesday, the...
What is it?
28th. I can't read this.
9-2-8.
This light gray on black text I have over here. 28th of September, 2016. I'm Scott Johnson with the one, the only, the Brian Ibbett.
Hello.
What's going on, man? How was your night? Did you sleep? Did you rest?
I slept. I didn't stay up late and play WoW or Heroes of the Storm or Overwatch or anything like that. I went to bed at a decent time. And
wow.
And you know what I did do, though?
What?
So, a little ritual, right? Not even really a ritual, but 10 o'clock rolls around. We watch the first few minutes of the news, see what's going on in the world, and then we start, you know, getting the dogs outside to go to the bathroom one last time before we shut down for the night.
Yep.
And while Tina's getting the dogs out to the bathroom, I'm looking for the cat because we keep the cat in our room with us overnight because the kids are noisy and the litter box is in our bathroom. So if we close the door to block out the kids' noise, the cat can't get to the litter box.
Sure.
So I scoop up the cat and I'm getting ready to go pick up my phone and my iPad to go head to the bedroom. Mm-hmm. And my leg goes out from under me as I'm getting up from picking up the cat.
Oh.
And I tumble hard. I like fall on my side on top of a magazine holder. It's full of Tina's magazines. Crash, like completely obliterate it.
How'd you lose your footing? What happened?
I have no idea. It was one of those things. All I can think of is that, you know, old man Brian, I swear to God, I cannot even remember exactly how it happened. It happened so quick. I reached down, scoop up the cat, and as I'm getting up, now I'm fully aware that the cat is in my other arm. So I tuck and roll the other direction because if I land on the cat, it's, you know.
Oh, it's lights out for the cat.
It's lights out for the cat.
Yeah.
So I take the brunt of it, land on my elbow, which is now bruised up and painful, like right on the bone tip of my elbow.
Mm. Mm.
And
so you're feeling that a little then.
Feeling that a lot. Yeah.
Your elbow has its own coccyx, it turns out.
That's right. And Tina's magazine stand is absolutely destroyed.
Oh no. Where will she get her Red Book copy?
Where will she store her copies of Living Social? Yeah. Is that what it's called? Living Social?
Living Social or Denver International or what, like we have like some Salt Lake magazine that litters my house that I hate.
Yeah, 5280 is the one we get here in Denver, and it's always like it's restaurant reviews and breast enhancement ads. That's 90% of 5280 magazine.
A sequel to the Van Halen hit 5150. 5280, right. Everyone.
5280, wow. Come on. You know why it's 5280.
I don't actually. Why is it 5280?
Oh, because Denver is a mile high and there's 5,280 feet in a mile.
Oh, I didn't. Okay, there you go. That's right. I keep forgetting.
Denver is so happy about the whole mile high business. It's... All right. I mean, it's great, but it's like you don't see San Francisco saying Bay City. We're a city by the bay. Hey, everybody love our bay.
Yeah.
By the way, do you notice we have a bay? Hey, yeah. How about our bay?
They may have gone through a period of that, but you're right. Maybe they don't do that anymore.
Yeah. We're still milking that whole Mile High business.
Except you change your stadium to some other name. It's not Mile High Stadium anymore. You think?
Well, they always call it such and such field at Mile High. So it was Invesco Field at Mile High. It was Sports Authority Field at Mile High. And now that Sports Authority Field is gone, we're looking for, hey, everybody, we're looking for a new owner of the stadium where the Broncos, the world champion Broncos play.
No buyers yet? Nobody's jumped in?
No buyers yet. I mean, you know, I don't pay attention, super close attention to it, but...
I wonder how that works. Do companies just go, yo, we make, I don't know, Kleenex-type products? Let's just own a stadium. It seems so strange to me that you'd even that you'd know who to talk to or how to work that out.
Yeah, and another J. Martin. I mean, that is the joke is like, it's going to be cannabis. It's going to be Kush Field at Mile High.
I love it, dude.
Purple Haze Field at Mile
High. Dank Field. Dank Weed Field.
Spleef Stadium.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, all right. It's good to know that Denver continues to thrust itself deeply into its love of its Mile Highness.
That's right. And I think now that I bump my elbow, I actually do qualify for medical marijuana.
Yeah, yeah. So that's good. Go in there, and that way you won't feel so bad or weird about it when you're buying edibles and stuff.
Right, exactly.
I'd like some gummy bears.
I hurt my elbow. Can I have some gummy bears, please?
Please.
Some THC gummy bears.
Can I have some brownie mix? Please. all right, I got an email I want to share. I don't usually do these, but it just was sweet and nice, and so I wanted to put it in here. It came to us from Elise Carit. How would you say that last name?
I was looking at that. I would say Carestus.
Carestus. Elise Carestus. I like that name.
Yeah.
Is a birthday wish. Says, hi, Scott and Brian. My husband is a huge fan of TMS. I don't think she means that he's huge. She means that he's a huge fan. Not a huge fan, but a huge fan. Of TMS as well as the instance. He's been listening for several years and has three of your mugs, one of which I gave him on our wedding day, if that tells you how much he enjoys your shows. His birthday is on Wednesday, September 28th. That would be today.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered if you guys would wish him a happy birthday on your show. His name is James. Thank you for your fantastic podcast. Well, Elise, I'm happy to report it's happy birthday to James Day. Yes.
Happy birthday, James. And why'd I put, he's not getting a t-shirt. I'm putting that down in the trivia section.
Here's a, by the way, here.
Happy birthday.
There you go. Happy birthday.
Excellent. That's as much as we can play until the until the court case is finally settled over that song. I think we're close, aren't we?
Are we finally getting to a place where that's no longer a stupid thing? I hope so, because it's dumb. It's dumb that you have to pay to use that song. It is the most in the public consciousness thing of all time. Right. It is proof that our copyright system is dumb and broken. So fix it.
So it is in the public domain. I know there was some appeals and that sort of thing.
It is now? It is?
No, it is over, is what people in the chat room are saying.
Well, they are the final word on such issues. Right. So I'm glad that they have weighed in.
Yes, those are our lawyers right there. Our group of lawyers in the tadpool. We all asked, say it's over.
Yeah, we asked an attorney what he did to stop this, and he said, pew, 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 pew. He pew-pewed it out of the sky.
It's the law firm of Tinvec, Archener, Sidian, and Kruge.
Have you been injured in a tadpole accident?
Have you been offended online? all right, anyway, happy birthday there, James. We hope the best for you there.
For sure, yeah. And it's also another anniversary this very day, Scott, September 28th. Is another anniversary, believe it or not.
I'm going to guess. Can I guess?
Sure.
The first day Brian Ibbett posted Coverville.
That is exactly correct. Yes.
Am I right?
12 years ago today, nice. The very first episode of Coverville aired.
Nice.
With me clumsily sitting in front of a microphone that probably sounded like this.
Mm-hmm. Right? Thanks for everybody for joining me for my first podcast.
That's probably it right there, actually. Yeah.
I'm going to play some music on this podcast. And
I got my dumb microphone.
Yeah,
this came free with my laptop.
Yeah, the plastic one. It came in the bag. So here's you laughing in reverse. All right. So there's to celebrate.
And that was the last thing I remember, officer.
His bush is spot on.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, that's you being a robot.
Wow.
All right. Well, anyway, congratulations. That's a huge watermark. No, a landmark is what I meant to say.
Sure.
It's not a watermark.
It's water, land, airmark. It's an airmark.
Okay.
Or a firemark.
Mile high marker.
That's right.
That's awesome. 12 years. Jeez Louise. Did that seem like just a poof in the sun? Like nothing? Like it just came and went?
Yeah. It doesn't feel like it's been 12 years. I mean, if someone were to say real quick, like off the top of your head, hey, Brian, how long have you been doing cover? I'll be like, oh, 9, 10.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
But 12 is crazy. And here's to another dozen.
Yeah. You have me beat by in terms of it being an official RSS style podcast, you have me beat by about 6 to 8 months.
Right. And you've got, all of us beat with the, putting audio recordings on a blog that wasn't an RSS delivered.
That was weird.
The Quake, that was the mod, the Quake mod thing?
Unreal Tournament mod.
Or do I ask
mod.
You? Unreal.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And it was back in 1999, I first posted one. In 56K quality, it sounded like shite.
So we're real excited about the changes coming to the game. A lot of breathing.
Doing this after hours.
From podcast. I think podcast is going to be big, everyone.
Anyway, there's our podcasting impression circa 2004.
Wow.
Anyway, hey, let's do a little fun stuff. Fun stuff is always fun. We're going to play a little game with one of our listeners and with Daryl. It's Stump Daryl time. That means you guys need to call this number, 801-895-4724. I will, however, clear the lines before we pull you in, so don't get too crazy here, but do get ready. Let's talk about who it's brought to us by first. Who is Stump Daryl brought to us by?
Brought to you by Coverville, where today we celebrate 12 years by taking some giant steps. And I hope my legs don't break. Yes, the Police and Sting to celebrate Sting's birthday. I think he's turning 96. No, I'm not sure that's exactly right. But Sting is having a birthday today, and it still takes him 4 hours to have sex. Is what I hear.
Wow, that's great. Because he's tantric. He's all tantric.
The whole tantric, yeah. I guess it's not that it takes him 4 hours. It's that he can do it for 4 hours. celebrating the birthday of Sting.
Luther, Luther.
Where is it? Here he is.
What's his real name?
65.
Luther something? Luther.
Gordon Sumner.
Gordon Sumner, that's it.
Gordon Sumner, yes.
Oh, wow, 65, geez.
65, not today, but Saturday.
That's fantastic.
And I bet he's going to celebrate with 4 hours of sex.
I would too. If I could, I would. That's right. Daryl's being added to the call.
We're not going to pull in a listener?
We are. Wait, how do we do this? Can we bring him in at the same time? Does it matter?
Sure, why not?
It doesn't matter, right?
Doesn't matter at all.
Okay.
No, we can bring him in any order because there's no secrets here.
Yeah, none that we know of.
That's right. And actually, Daryl gets to meet the person when we meet the person. There's something to that.
There is something to that. All right, so we're adding Daryl. He's not answering, though. So that's one part that we need to have happen is him pick up the phone. That's important. But while we're waiting for him, let's go ahead and add one of these calls.
Okay.
Hi, you're on the air. Who is this?
Hi, Tom.
Hello, Tom.
Tom, welcome.
Tom, where are you from?
Michigan.
Michigan.
Way up north.
Oh, way up north. What's the city? What's the town?
Marquette,
Michigan. I like the sound of that. I don't know why that sounds familiar to me. Why does Marquette sound familiar?
There's a university, a Marquette University, but that's...
Okay, that must not be it, though. Maybe that is what
we have... Northern Michigan University here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're a Youper.
Yeah.
Yes.
An Upper Peninsula.
I like the sound of that. Okay, let's
excellent.
Do this.
Welcome, Tom.
Yeah, welcome,
Tom.
Good
to have you here.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. Here's a little theme for you.
Yeehaw, I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
Time to stump Daryl. That means Daryl Skills is also on the line. Hello, Daryl.
Hello.
Hi, it's you and Tom right here on the phone with us today
to do Stump Daryl. Say hi to Tom.
Yes, say hi.
Marquette, Michigan.
Ooh, hello, Tom in Michigan.
Hello.
Hello, Daryl.
Yes, this is the most awkward meeting of all time. Anyway, hey, it's good to have you both here. Of course, it is time to stump Daryl. Before we get to the question and Brian's explanation thereof, mm-hmm. I would like to share the following news with the fine people of, well, mainly with Daryl, actually.
Sure.
Daryl, here's some news for you, buddy. You ready for this?
Okay.
Star Trek Beyond's Justin Lin, guy who just directed Star Trek Beyond, a film I quite enjoyed, is rebooting SWAT for CBS. Coming off a solid contribution to a venerable sci-fi franchise, Justin Lin has been picking up a lot of legacy work. The director has already accepted offers to direct Space Jam, the sequel, a new Highlander movie. But also then, hold on, Cinemax's, what? Oh, he's also going to do Cinemax's Warrior. That'll probably have boobs in it.
Because it's on Cinemax and that is a requirement.
No, you have to. It's like, it's even a harder rule than HBO's deal.
Yeah.
You got to do it.
Yeah.
A series based on the life of Bruce Lee. That sounds interesting, actually. And it looks like the Fast Five director just got handed the keys to another property, one with a lower profile, TV's SWAT. Has anyone ever seen the TV show SWAT?
I remember SWAT being a thing. I remember there being like plastic toys up the wazoo. Like there were a lot of...
Don't put your plastic toys up your wazoo.
I was wondering, just as I said that, I'm like, oh, I probably could have phrased that differently. But
whenever you say that, you're like, it's like my dad's visiting from heaven. Because he used to say
up the wazoo.
Always the up the wazoo is his favorite go-to phrase. He loved that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
70s TV show SWAT.
It's great. And there was a movie. It wasn't very good. Yeah. It was based on, or it had, can't remember
Colin
his name.
Colin Farrell and ladies love Cool James.
Yeah, lame. It wasn't good. But this sounds like I'd like it. So anyway, there's a little news for you from the Star Trek world. He's coming off his big deal there with the Beyond and moving beyond it. Get it? That's pretty good. Beyond it, see? Yeah, it's pretty good. All right, Brian, I would like you to explain the rules to our guest and to Daryl as a reminder, and then we'll go from there.
Sure. Well, Tom, we're going to be asking Daryl and Daryl. I guess I'm telling both of you this. We're going to be asking you a question, Daryl, in just a moment, the answer to which is a number. And what we want you to do is to guess at what that number answer is. Once you're done, and once you get it wrong, because we hope you do, Tom is going to guess whether or not the actual answer is higher or lower than Daryl's guess. If he is correct today, you will win, Tom, a TMS t-shirt courtesy of Right Printing. That's right with a W. That W stands for win. That TMS t-shirt could be yours if your guess is right.
Or right might stand for right as well.
Well, I also might stand for right, yeah.
All right, Daryl, coughing here. Are you ready for your big question here?
Let me stretch.
All right. Oh, okay, gosh. All right.
Jeez. Sure you... Tell me, maybe don't tell us exactly what you just stretched.
No kidding. It's like a...
all of me.
Gave birth to a diamond there. All right, here's your topic. Your topic is Pokemon Sun and Moon.
Mm.
They're coming
well,
out.
Well, technically not.
Well, not really, but Pokemon, let's say that.
Pokemon.
Yeah, Pokemon. Brian's a big fan. He does a show about the Go
collecting
version.
Them while yeah. I drive.
Sure, sure. How's that going with the little clip thing? Good?
It's fantastic, man. Oh, you know what? Let me tell you. Can I tell you a really good
story?
Yeah,
of course. Of course.
Had a disaster. So Tina and I went furniture shopping on Saturday.
That sounds like the most boring thing in the world, but go ahead.
It absolutely is. And yeah. We went to this local celebrity, a guy named Jake Jabs, has this furniture place called American Furniture Warehouse.
Jake Jabs,
and he's been doing this furniture thing for 50 years and has the worst possible commercials, and it's always for his it's always with his children and animals. He like has just a bunch of animals climbing and pooping on the furniture in the commercials. But the warehouses are immense, and so I thought, well, I'm taking my Pokemon Go Plus clip, and as I'm walking around looking at chairs, I can be getting some kilometers to maybe hatch an egg or, you know, or get some candy for my Pikachu or whatever.
I love that you thought of this.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're walking around and we're looking at chairs. We're sitting in chairs and getting out of chairs and sitting in chairs and getting out of chairs and sitting in chairs. And then my phone buzzes in my pocket and I pull it out and look at it and says, your Pokemon Go session has ended. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'll restart it. And I reach to push the button on my Pokemon Go Plus. And it's no longer clipped onto my Apple Watch.
Oh, no.
My watch band.
Oh, no.
And Tina says she looked at me and she thought that I just got a text that somebody died.
So where was it? Like in a couch cushion or something?
So I backtracked. I said, you keep looking at chairs. I'm going to go. And I'm like thinking, God, this is just so embarrassing. Like looking around a furniture store for my toy like I'm a freaking 8-year-old. And I'm basically backtracking from all of the through all of the chairs and everything. Oh, I had to go look at office furniture for some stupid reason. And I see it sitting on the ground off to the side, like just waiting for
waiting
me to
for
come
somebody
back
to come get it. Yeah. Or if not you, someone. Yeah.
I thought some kid was going to just have a heyday because these things are sold out everywhere. You can't get them.
Plus and they're
like going on eBay for $200.
And what do they cost as new?
$30.
Just 30? Okay.
If you get them when they have them available on Amazon.
It's not too bad, but you would have been waiting a very long time to get a new one.
I would have been waiting a very long time to get a new one.
Oh, yeah. Man, that would have been a super bummer. I know this feeling, though. Like, there's this feeling of, like, total dread that is based on a stupid plastic thing, but I have it all the time.
It is, yeah.
I get it. I'm with you. My heart was with you the whole time. All right.
So that's I recaught my Pokemon Go Plus. That's my great catch story of my Pokemon Go catch.
I wish that for you to be able to pick it up off the ground, you had to throw a ball at it a number of times to get it.
Like throw a ball at it. Oh, it escaped. Throw another ball at it. Oh, it escaped.
Yep. And then other people being like, oh, what is there? What's going on? Oh, one of those clip things is here. And they'd all have to catch it that way. But otherwise, it would have to sit on the ground. That'd be the way to go.
Right. That'd be hilarious. Anyway, so there's, you know. there's, the Pokemon.
Here's a Pokemon story. Well, here's your Pokemon question, Daryl. Are you all ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Pokemon Sun / Moon is coming out later this year, 2016. The Pokemon games have each had a large amount of Pokemon to catch, collect, battle, and trade. How many Pokemon are there currently across the various Pokemon games? This does not include Pokemon from Sun and Moon, meaning up till now, before this one releases, how many Pokemon are out there?
The Gibbet and the Deluxeaway, which are new ones that are being added for Pokemon Sun and Moon. Those are not counting.
Oh, they're like Pidgeys. They're freaking everywhere.
The Deluxeaway.
Yeah, the Deluxeaway.
Somebody needs to, we need to draw these Pokemon, fake Pokemon.
That's not bad. If we only knew someone who drew a lot.
I know, if only.
If only. Maybe I'll do that for my stream on Thursday, for my drawing stream. Yeah.
Draw a Deluxeaway Pokemon in a Gibbet.
Yeah, in a Gibbet. I already know what the Gibbet's going to have.
It's going to be bald and...
And asking me if I ever heard about the time.
No. That's...
Oh, no, that's me.
Yeah.
I was thinking Jordan. Yeah, that's me. Sorry, Daryl.
Tell you about the time that I listened to Brian do the... I tell you about the time on TMS. I hear all those, Brian. I'll bring them up during raid.
That's right. I don't love that you're doing it, but I won't.
I think he does.
I think he's fine with it. I hope he's fine with it.
I'm sure he's fine with it. And it's out of so much love.
So much love. Big bottles of liquid love.
Ooh.
Ooh. Back that truck up. All right, Daryl, give us a number, man. What do you like there? What feels good?
Okay. Does this includes cards and TV shows and cartoons and all that?
I think it includes everything up till this point, yes. Here's a hint just for fun. There are an initial 151 Pokemon. Those are initially what are available in the Pokemon Go thing, right?
Yeah, in the Go app, right?
The Go app. So the first Pokemon, that's the number of those. There have been many added since. So there's your, so you know it's more than 151.
You know it's more than 151. Very good.
Yeah. And there's been many before that, probably.
Well, no, that's the...
No, that's the original Pokemon game before Pokemon Go Plus or Pokemon Go and all that stuff. The very first Pokemon game
introduced
the original 151 correct. Or 152.
Yeah, correct. Or, yeah, 152.
I'm going to go binary and just say 1024.
1024. Oh, yeah. You're going straight.
An even megabyte of Pokemon.
Yeah.
Yes.
Better resolution for sure. So 1024 by 768. 1024. All right, there's your number. So what do you think there, Tom? Higher or lower? Oh, first of all, Brian, is that even correct?
Oh, no. 1024 is incorrect.
Ah.
Is the actual answer higher or lower than 1024?
That seems pretty high. Gotta go lower.
Gotta go. You think that's a little high? So we're gonna go a little lower. Yeah. All right, well, let's find out if you're right. Listen, this t-shirt's on the line here, so this is an important moment for everybody. I'm pushing this button to find out. Here it is.
Congratulations!
Oh.
You're a winner.
You are a winner. The Yay. Actual answer is 721. It is less. So, Daryl, you could have gone with the 720 and 1024 by
728
or 768 or something, and you would have been a lot closer. That's still a lot of Pokemon, and I don't know what Sun and Moon bring to the table, but I assume this number will go up in the next couple of months. Well done, Tom. That means you win this t-shirt, courtesy of Right Printing. Brian, we'll get it to you. Are you in the tadpole with us today?
Yeah.
All right, awesome.
Cool. Shoot me an email or shoot me a message in the tadpole. Get me your email address. I'm sorry. Get me your mailing address, and we'll get this thing out to you. I'm going to email you this shirt. It's going to work out really well.
One bit at a time.
That's right.
Congratulations once again. You were a fine guest, and now you can't win for a month. Okay, bye. Is that right? A month?
That is correct, okay. Yeah.
All right. That's the rules, everybody. 15 days for...
14 days if you get on and don't win. 30 days if you get on and win.
Okay, got it. Daryl Skeels, you've just been a joy to have around today. what is going on? I know he's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. He's also on This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and The Grumpy Cast. See, I didn't forget it today. I got that one right in there with you and that wrestler man. You now will grace us with a little game of search YouTube for stuff.
Okay, I'm going to read part of a query that I've entered into YouTube. You complete the phrase and win nothing.
Did I tell you I have a new clip for this? Hold on. Did I pull it over yet? I actually have a new version of this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This is our new theme for Daryl. Here you go. I found it.
YouTube.
There you go. You said that yesterday and it cracked me up. So we're going with that. All right. So give us the YouTube.
Sounds like the Frasier version.
I'm pretty close.
Okay. The number what?
The number what? Yeah.
YouTube.
Remember YouTube?
Oh, wait. I have to say the thing.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Are you waiting for an answer from this? Yeah. The answer is Taylor Swift.
Yeah, Taylor Swift. Okay. Always is the answer.
World of Warcraft can blank.
Can?
Make you sterile.
World of Warcraft can... Oh, man. Oh my gosh, this is harder than it should be. World of Warcraft can...
Well, let me just say, this is really stupid, and I'll be in trouble for doing it this way, but...
Oh,
really?
Anyway.
Well, that's fine. World of Warcraft can...
Slurp my butt.
Can...
Now I'm going to say eat your time.
Eat your time's not bad. I'm going to say World of Warcraft can... can ruin your life. Even though I don't think that's true. I think that sounds like something somebody might do a video about. So those are our answers. How'd we do?
Okay. The real number one answer that I'm going to be in trouble for is World of Warcraft cancellation freakout.
Oh, that's like a...
Oh, cancellation. Yeah,
that's not a word. You are in trouble.
YouTube.
That's a bunch of poop. It's a bunch of poop. I don't.
Oh, yeah. But I know exactly the video that somebody's searching for when they find that, of course.
Yeah. That's goofy. All right.
YouTube.
All right, Daryl. Enough of the YouTube. Let's get into the news.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news brung to you by...
This week on the All Roads Tavern Actual Play RPG Podcast, having defeated the Trial of Thunderous Light, the Void Ocean crew must now face the Trial of the Hidden and the Trial of Distance. Will they be able to discover the solution, or will they come up short? Find this tale and more at lithmage.com.
All right. Hey, yeah. Elon Musk in the news.
It's my favorite cologne is Elon Musk.
Yeah, but every time I walk through a JCPenney, does the lady have to spray me on the way out?
Yeah.
Elon Musk wants to build a transit system, and you're thinking, oh, we already know about the Hyperloop, Scott. We know all about that.
That's old news. Jeez, get something new.
Well, you're wrong, because it's the transit system that lets humans tour the entire solar system.
What?
Yep, he's for real. So he got up on a stage yesterday and announced plans for a giant rocket and spaceship that will, in theory, be capable of sending humans to Mars. The theory, according to him,
get your ass to Mars,
is that we could find a way to colonize Mars in just a century or two. Oh, is that all? Just a century or two? Only 200 years?
Yeah. Easy to make a promise that you're not going to live long enough to fulfill. Yeah. Well done, Elon.
Two people have to be born and die at 100 years each to get there, right. Which actually makes it seem shorter. But anyway.
Yeah.
That means
one of them has to be born when the other one dies. Right. There's no overlap, Scott.
Right. It has to be, I'm going out. Who's next? Okay, he's here. I'm good. Anyway, it says, in typical Musk fashion.
Musk fashion.
He was not done there. During the later stages of his presentation, the SpaceX CEO explained why he decided on Twitter a few weeks ago to rename the Mars Colonial Transporter to the Interplanetary Transport System. He wants ITS or it's. if you think about it, it's kind of lame.
Yeah.
To go much farther than Mars with a proposed 77-meter-tall rocket, acting as a javelin for the massive ITS spaceship. Musk teased the idea of SpaceX spending centuries helping humans explore the outer reaches of the solar system. You got to give the guy some credit for being as... ambitious as he is about this stuff. I think it's actually kind of cool. He also dates very lovely younger women, I've noticed. That seems to be a thing Elon Musk
they're,
is
they're,
into.
They're robots. They're life model decoys.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
Are they fembots?
Fembots. That's exactly what they are. Yes.
All right. He says this, if you have all of those elements, you can go anywhere in the solar system by planet hopping or moon hopping, Musk said, by establishing a propellant depot in the asteroid belt. Oh my gosh, that gets me excited. Or one of the moons of Jupiter, you can make flights from Mars to Jupiter no problem. So he thinks we can do it, and he's the man to make it happen.
Hmm.
Thanks for bringing us PayPal there, buddy.
Yeah.
Moving on to bigger and better things.
I'd love to go to Mars.
Yeah, Mars, get your ass to Mars, Brian.
Get your ass to Mars.
Speaking of which, not that, but electric cars, because he has the whole Tesla thing.
Oh, yeah. And your neighbor?
The neighbor suddenly has three electric cars. He suddenly has, he had the BMW one, he had the Tesla white one, and now he's got a Tesla Model S red one. And I cannot, and an SUV that is not electric, and some other car. And I don't understand where these are coming from. I'm starting to think something's up. Like, that seems fishy to me. Yeah. Either he works for somebody who's got something to do with electric cars, I don't know what, or whatever. But all I know is he's like this big guy in a t-shirt and a pair of cargos and flip-flops whose dog is so big and fat that it never gets walked and poops on my lawn, yet there are these three. There's just something up. Something's weird. Something's weird. And he can't charge them all, possibly. There's only one big outlet for that. They had to have that custom installed. Like, I don't know what's going on over there.
He's got to get like a big old surge protector.
Yeah, no kidding. Too many cars on your outlet. But he's got this brand new red one sitting there, and we can't for the life of us figure out what's going on. This is the same guy with the motorcycle in the middle of the night. Like, what's going on over there?
Weird.
Yeah, I think there's
The whole thing just doesn't seem to fit any stereotype that we can put together, right? Mm. You know, that electric car driving, big dog pooping, owning motorcycle, long late night chatting kind of guy.
Right. He doesn't fit anything. Right.
You can't fit the white trash mold with electric cars. You can't fit the green party dude with the pooping dog.
Right.
It's like nothing fits.
Nothing fits. It's like I wish I could even say, ooh, he's some kind of international car thief who steals electric cars and gives them to old people or whatever. But I can't even do that. I just don't know what to make of it.
This weird offshoot of Ed Begley Jr. and Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah, and it's more complicated because he denied having a dog.
Right.
When he was confronted about it. So I don't know what to think about it. It's really weird to me. So I'm going to keep my eye over there. In fact, I'm going to keep my camera eye over there.
Oh, do you have one installed yet?
To look at my lawn, yes. Not to stare at the neighbor. I don't care about
that. Sure, sure.
But I want.
I don't know. You could totally pull a Jimmy Stewart and do the whole rear window thing.
I totally could. Get out of here and get some home cooking soup.
Oh, look, you've got Raymond Burr over there. I think he killed a woman, Mary. Raymond Burr. He's burying him in the backyard.
In the backyard. What do you think he's doing with his electric cars, Mary?
Mary. Is that Alfred Hitchcock over there listening to a guy play the piano, Mary?
It's always Mary. It's forever Mary.
Want the moon, Mary? Well, throw a lasso up and pull the moon down for you.
I'll bring it down to you, Mary.
Rawr. And my dog.
Well, anyway, so there's that.
Yeah.
Haunted toilets. Let's move on to important issues like haunted toilets. I'm going to play some audio. Before I do, I'll describe this.
Okay. Haunted toilet. All right.
Yes. The
just in time for Halloween.
You can hear howls of distress from a toilet in this video. I'm going to play it. Here you go, chat room. I'm just going to play this terrifying toilet. Where's the sound? Oh, there it goes. Let's hear it one more time.
Okay, that's great.
That is pretty fantastic. Great. That's pretty great. And then there's the Chewbacca toilet paper one. This one's pretty good. You pull the paper. And what's great about it is it's a public toilet. Somebody put on the big dispenser just a picture of Chewbacca's face and taped it on there. Anyway.
Let the teepee win.
This apparently there's some plumbing problem, but the people who have it are worried that it's sort of haunted because it sounds like the distressed howling of a long deceased spirit who can't find its way home.
Wow.
So I wanted to share that with the fine people listening at home. Brad Pitt in the news. He's in the news. You know Brad Pitt, right, Brian? You're familiar with Brad Pitt?
He Was he in a movie or something? A
couple of them. He's in that one, the bunch of monkeys in it, and he's running around flipping people off behind
their
back.
Ocean's 12, right.
Ocean's 12, that's the one. Nailed it. Cool World, I think. He's let some of the stuff slip about what's going on with him and his tumultuous divorce and issues with his family. He has a new documentary out called Voyage of Time, but he will not be attending the screening for it. Too much happening at home. Terrence Malick's Voyage of Time is an incredibly beautiful and unique experience in IMAX for children and families, chronicling the birth of time. He says, I am very grateful to be part of such a fascinating and educating project, but I'm currently focused on my family situation and don't want to be distracted by this extraordinary film, which I encourage everyone to see, Pitt tells E! News in a statement. So that's as much as we've gotten. Apparently, I didn't know about there's abuse allegations.
Oh yeah, we didn't talk about it. We talked about the divorce, but yeah, they were right after the divorce, and I think it was probably Friday this came up when we weren't doing a show. But there were allegations of child abuse with Brad Pitt, and
like verbal and physical, not sexual, right? Isn't that
not
the deal?
Sexual,
I mean, not saying that anything's good here. I just want to be clear.
Well,
about.
and sometimes these things do get blown out of proportion, right? And somebody sees something and they make an accusation. All of a sudden, that accusation just gets blown up. Apparently, it stems from an argument that they had on an airplane like a week ago or something. And that Brad and Angelina were having. And I think he may have picked up one of the kids and moved him to another seat or something. And I don't know I honestly don't know what the story is, but
Hollywood.
I hear it does stem from an argument on a plane.
Were there witnesses to this plane thing? I wonder, was anybody on that flight?
Yeah. It wasn't like a private plane deal. It was like they were in first class coming back from Cannes or something like that. Like the stars do.
Maybe they had, I don't know. Maybe they brought him, you know how now planes, they serve you food. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it comes in a little box.
Right.
Maybe Brad Pitt really wanted to know what was in the box. Maybe he kept yelling, what's in the box?
Maybe it was that, or maybe he said, what'd you get? Would you get peanuts? You get pretzels? Mm-hmm. Know your doses. What'd you get? Peanuts?
Exactly.
They give you Haldol?
Some guy in the back of the plane was going, that was the last time I saw Brad Pitt. Anyway.
Right.
Good luck to them.
I'm looking at a Vanity Fair article. Mm-hmm. Last week, the FBI was informed of an alleged child welfare incident that reportedly took place above a private jet transporting Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, and their children from France to the United States. So it was from France. Look at that. Mm. Are there any details?
Yeah, if they're not giving details.
I guess not if the FBI is investigating, they probably won't.
Sure, and they do this, they keep that stuff quiet to protect minors and all that kind of stuff if there was something serious. But like if he punched a kid or something.
Oh, God.
That's pretty hardcore.
Yeah, I'd hate to say that. I think your career is over if you punch a kid. Even if it's your own kid. Mm-hmm. Even if it's freaking Maddox.
I mean, I was starting to, even if it's your flesh and blood.
Well.
Not one of these adopted kids.
Yeah. Do they have flesh and blood kids?
I think they're all adopted, as far as I know.
Yeah.
I think so, right? Aren't there like five?
PAX West and PAX East and Maddox and...
And Orange Julius. And,
Skippity.
Skippity. And, Skippity, that kid.
Skippity.
Skippity Pitt.
Skippity Pitt.
Skippity Pitt's pretty good.
Skippity Pitt Jolie. Yeah. You know, let's
Orange Julius Jolie and Skippity Pitt.
Right. Dole Whip Pitt.
Oh, man, that sounds good right now. So I don't know what's going to happen out of this whole thing, but I'm just sad. Once in a while, you'll find like a marriage or a couple or something in Hollywood, and you're like, you know what? This one seems to be lasting, and they've got these kids, and it seems to be invested in family stuff, and they're, you know, they're the Tom Hankses of the world. They seem to be doing okay, although he had a divorce, but him and his wife have been together for a very long time.
Tom Hanks didn't have a divorce, did he? Yeah. You and Rita Wilson?
Early on. No. Some before her. So Colin Hanks's mom is not Rita Wilson. It's somebody else.
Oh, right. Okay.
But anyway, you know, you want to see that stuff do okay. And then when it doesn't, and it's somebody like, I don't know, I like Brad Pitt. I like him a lot in his movies and stuff. I don't want to find out he punched a kid or something.
Right.
That'll depress me.
Let's quit saying that he punched a kid and that way the rumor doesn't spread. Hashtag Brad Pitt punched a kid.
Yeah. Hashtag punch a kid. Hashtag what's in the box. All right, there's that. That's a thing. Hey, how about this ambitious new Netflix series about Queen Elizabeth? I like things like this. I like a period piece, Brian.
That's not terribly ambitious to make it a period piece. If you want to make it ambitious, put her in space.
Yeah, that's a good point. The Queen in space?
Queen Elizabeth in space.
Oh, now you're talking.
Space Queen. Yeah, the Adventures of Lizzie.
The Adventures of the First Mum. The royal family has been fodder for all manner of entertainment on both sides of the pond, but Netflix's ambitious new show, The Crown, premieres November 4th, aims to be the first to dramatize Queen Elizabeth II's life in full. The series was budgeted at an estimated $100 million and will span 5 seasons. They're already planning that. One for each decade of the Queen's reign. The series was created by Frost Nixon's scribe Peter Morgan, who at this point is an expert on Queen Elizabeth II. He has written about her twice before in the 2007 film The Queen and the 2013 play The Audience. Both starred Helen Mirren, and the actress won the Oscar. The series begins on the eve of her marriage to Prince Philip. It's not really a period piece, but this will start in, like, what, the 20s, 30s?
Right. Yeah, it seems like.
As far back as it goes.
Right.
The new trailer shows fissures between Queen Elizabeth and her husband as she struggles with her unexpected ascendancy to the throne at such a young age. Morgan spoke to Time magazine about how much of the show will be fact and fiction and how the Queen's coronation hurt her marriage and the royal family's response to the series. Anyway, I like stuff like this, so I'm in.
Yeah, but I feel like we've had so much Queen Elizabeth recently. Like, there was the Helen Mirren one. There was a Judi Dench one with when it was the Tony Blair.
Oh.
Remember, Michael Sheen playing Tony Blair and his whole relationship with QE2.
I don't remember. I thought that was the
Helen Mirren one.
I thought that was Judi Dench,
wasn't it?
I thought that was Helen Mirren and Sheen was zippity doo-dah there.
And Tony Blair?
Yeah, Tony
Blair. I don't know. I just feel like we've gotten...
Who else played Tony Blair in a movie? I can't think of his name.
Sidian says that is the Helen Mirren one. But there was another Queen Elizabeth movie recently.
I
just feel like doing another Queen Elizabeth movie is like doing another O.J. Simpson television show.
Okay, well, that's a good point. Yeah, we just finished it, too. I got it. Why not? Let's do an older queen. Let's do one of the queens from Elizabeth the First. From like the 1600s or something.
Right. Or, you know, Henry the Eighth.
Yeah, that guy chopped off heads. Well, I guess we got that with, what was it, the Tudors? That's what that was.
Huh.
Because the Tudors was all Henry VIII chopping off heads.
Oh, really? Okay. Oh, yeah. J.C. Calhoun says that Jenna Coleman is playing the queen in a new show. All right, well, then we can have that one.
Who's Jenna Coleman?
Jenna Coleman is the doctor's companion, Peter Capaldi's companion, and for a while, Matt Smith's companion on Doctor Who.
Oh, she's cute.
She's just adorable. Yeah.
Yeah, she's cute. There she is, everyone. Chat room. See? She's lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Be a fine queen.
She'd be a fine queen. Yeah, yes.
She'd be a fine queen. Good luck to her. All right. Well, that's about the all the news fit to print. Oh, you know what I was going to check on, though? Hold on.
Tell me.
Where is it? I got to see if this is breaking or not. Let's see here. Where is it? Prepare the radio. I can't find it. Oh, here it is. Are you Brian? Are you a fan of The Lion King?
I am a fan of The Lion King.
Okay.
You know, the Circle of Life and all that, and Pumbaa.
Yeah, you like the Pumbaa?
Timon.
Yeah, the Rafiki.
Rafiki.
Yeah, wasn't he a
Robert Guillaume and
wasn't he a cheetah?
Nathan Lane and.
Well, Disney and Jon Favreau are remaking it now. Remember?
Oh, thank God, because it's been too long.
You remember that? 94 is a long time ago. The old movie. How long is that now? 20 years? 21 years ago.
Right.
You got Lion
years
King.
Ago, yeah,
something like that. Disney and Jon Favreau remaking The Lion King. Remember, he just got done doing the Jungle Book to much agreement. People liked that. So the thinking is he could do a live action version of The Lion King and make that work somehow. Favreau has yet to comment on the project. However, it is on the fast track to production. They call it a reimagining of its 1994 animated blockbuster. Key details, including release date and casting news, have yet to be announced, obviously. In April, two Disney untitled Disney live-action movies were put on the calendar for August 3rd, 2018 and December 25th, 2018. The new Lion King will include songs from the original animated movie. The studio said Favreau last directed Disney's The Jungle Book, which earned $965.8 million worldwide. That's damn good.
That is crazy. Wow. Yeah. So this is going to be live action like Jungle Book was, where you've got a live action. Yep. Well, there's no people in it. So no, it's going to have to all be.
It'll be animals with animated faces and stuff.
CGI. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, gotcha. So, yeah, right.
It'll be the same as Jungle Book without the kid.
The life of Pi, Lion King.
Mm-hmm. Basically. Yeah. I think that sounds
right. The Lion King of Pi.
I'm totally down with that. All
right, so let's cast it.
All right.
Voice actors.
All right, Pumbaa.
we start with Pumbaa. We just jumping right to Pumbaa.
I'm trying to imagine, like, if it's a musical, are Pumbaa and Timon just dancing around and singing?
Yeah.
Do you have Nathan Lane do it again? Like, I don't know what the plan is here.
Could. Yeah.
I don't know what their plan is.
I don't know.
Is.
You get the guy from Modern Family who plays Cam. Eric Stone Street.
Yeah.
He's your Pumbaa.
Yeah, he'd be all right. Wait, Pumbaa. Pumbaa's the... You mean Timon. Which one's the...
Timon is the meerkat. Pumbaa's the boar.
Right, but you don't want him, because the Pumbaa just went... Like, he was just like the low
girl. When I was a young warthog.
That whole thing. You get your... You get your. I know Nathan Lane is a heavier set guy, and you want to replace him with another heavier set guy, but it's his voice. You know, it's the voice of the meerkat. Doesn't have to be a.
All right. Well, who gets to be the meerkat then, if it's not Nathan Lane?
The meerkat is.
Who do we give that to? I don't know. Hello. It needs to be somebody who's super.
Bill Hader.
All right, Bill Hader.
Bill Hader.
I like Bill Hader as an animated voice man. He does a lot of good work.
What you do is you make this a one man. You make this all Bill Hader doing every voice.
Mm. Well, there you go. By the way, two decades later, here's some interesting numbers. Lion King boasts a lifetime global box office gross of nearly $1 billion. That's accounting for, what do you call that there? Inflation. Mm-hmm. And the Jungle Book he just did, made that in like 6 months, which is crazy. So it makes sense. They're going to do this. I don't have a problem with it. I'm totally fine with it. Bring it.
Oh,
on.
Gosh. Bill Hader and John DiMaggio from.
He could do it.
Bender. Yeah. Doing Timon and Pumbaa.
Yeah, that's he'd be great. Good. He could do it. He could totally pull that off.
Hey, Timon, let's go get some blackjack and hookers.
Oh, I forgot they're doing this. So you got the Beauty and the Beast coming up with Emma Watson as Belle and Dan Stevens as the Beast.
Oh, so that's another live action business?
Yeah. That's March 2017. They're also, apparently on the list we have 101 Dalmatians. Didn't we already do that? We did that. That's already done. Anyway, whatever. Dumbo, Mulan, Peter Pan, Pinocchio, or as I said when I was a kid, Pinocchio.
Pinocchio, hey. That's my favorite kind of wine. Nice little Pinocchio.
Yeah, a little Pinocchio on a summer night. It's amazing.
All right, let me ask you this, and this might actually be more of a Kim question. But
all right.
What's your take on the live-action musicals that have kind of made a television resurgence, like the live-action Grease from last year and the Peter Pan?
Both of those things would require an active cable or...
Terrestrial antenna connection is all you need.
But we didn't do any of that for those, so we didn't watch them. However,
I think they're both streaming as well, so you could watch them after the fact.
I could tell you right now that she would have zero interest.
Okay, so no, I thought for some reason she liked High School Musical or something like that. Or Glee? Did she watch Glee?
She watched it for a half hot minute, but both of us fell, like you, we all fell off that and went, yeah, this isn't as good.
Oh yeah, Sound of Music. So you know, the one that's coming up, in October is the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah, that I'm interested in.
Yeah, because it's I am too. I hate to say it, but
I like that stuff.
Yeah,
and I like Moulin Rouge a lot, and so does she. So I mean, we have our exceptions, but for the most part, musicals really aren't our thing. Mm-hmm. Her thing is those just terrible WB style vampire moot things.
Okay,
she likes that kind of weird vampire werewolf subgenre. Like, she loved every second of True Blood, and I hated it. I freaking hated it.
We watched the first two seasons of that, and as soon as it came out that she was a fairy or whatever, it's like, okay, this is just getting silly.
It got real dumb real quick.
Right. Anyway. Okay, you're right. And Tinvec says, Rocky Horror Picture Show is not a musical. It's a rock opera. Okay, yes.
Oh, sorry, Tinvec.
Yes. Oh, please. Yeah, we need to, speaking of which, how about Repo? They need to do Repo live action on.
Oh, Repo, dude. What did Paul Sorvino sing? I love that line. He goes, you remember that? How weird that was?
Totally. I don't remember what he's saying, but I totally remember Paul Sorvino. I remember Anthony Stewart Head.
Let's see if I can find it. Oh, I didn't write it. I know I have it, but I don't know what I titled it.
Mm.
It's really bad. It's really, really bad. And then the final note I would give you, Brian, just to give you a little bit of fun here. Madonna has followed Katy Perry's lead and got naked to vote. I'll explain.
Look, can I see the...
If you want.
Is there an article for the Katy Perry one?
There's a...
Yeah, Madonna, okay, whatever, yeah, fine. But Katy Perry did this?
There it is in the chat. It says, Katy Perry is not the only one taking off her clothes to encourage people to get out to vote. Madonna took to social media early Wednesday morning to share a naked selfie, not in any sort of gratuitous fashion, but like Perry, it's to get people to go out and vote. So by getting naked, that's supposed to get you to go vote. Hmm. I think that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like, I get it.
Is there anybody out there saying... Well, I wasn't planning on voting, but Madonna getting naked has totally changed my mind.
Exactly.
I think I'll go out and vote.
Exactly. Like, I don't understand how this does anything. I don't get it. Also, she's been naked plenty of times. It's not like I need, you know, this to get me to vote.
Plenty of times and at far better points in her career.
Yeah. So, anyway, there's that.
Mm.
Good luck to her. Why does she have gold teeth?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You look at that weird photo of her that surfaced the other day.
She got bling teeth?
Bling? I don't know.
All right. Also, whatever.
Madonna continues to reinvent herself. She's just reinventing herself badly lately.
Yeah, it's not going so good. Oh, she got arrested. Katy Perry got arrested for this? Hold on. Carrie Painter made a bold statement on Instagram today. Tomorrow I'll use my body as clickbait to help change the world. The pop star followed through as she teamed up with Funny or Die and Rock the Vote. For rotor registration day with popcorn and candy in her hair. Prove a point. She showed a woman wearing... Okay, this is all fake. I'm not reading that. Thanks a lot, headline. That's bullshit. Thank you so much for that. That's going to do it for the news. We are going to do some music now. I believe Indie in the Middle is required.
It is required.
What do you got for me?
I've got something fun today. You take a little bit of Primus. You take a little bit of Modest Mouse. You mix it generously, and you have what we're about to hear. It is a brand new album from the band Royal Canoe. This is just came out on Nevado Music. Big thanks to Nevado Music. They are currently on tour both in U.S. and Canada, and this is their song Bicycle.
Mm.
It is lead singer is Matt Peters, and you're going to just have such a blast listening to this. I hope. Make sure you check out their album, Something Got Lost Between Here and the Orbit, the brand new album from Royal Canoe. Here is Bicycle.
Echoing your part. Did we know? Did we know? We've breath at a glow glow. You made me swallow up a butterfly, and all I want is to catch a cannon, catch a cannon. There's a bedsheet LOA, clipped on with a clothespin. I'll make you shudder like a camera when you see me lift the mountain like a smacking up.
Hamburger, American, or a foot long hot dog.
I have no idea.
The Morning Stream. Look at me. I'm the captain now.
Okay, we're back. Boy, that was weird.
Yeah. Fun though, right?
Yeah. Very interesting. By the way, thanks to Lesarge for that awesome Indie in the Middle graphic.
I love that.
Yeah, used that as the holder thing while we did the song. That was great. Mm-hmm. welcome to the latter portion of the show where we bring Nicole in and do some recommendals.
Yay!
Yep, she wasn't here last week. She was traveling. She was actually
she was
there
here
last
week.
That's right. Did they find a place? Do you know?
They did. And, why don't we let her talk about it, actually?
Yeah, that's a good idea. She probably knows better than any of us.
Yeah,
what's going
she'll
on.
Be able to answer that question and give an update.
And more.
And more.
Here's your theme for it. Nicole Spaganulo, what's going on?
It's me.
Hi. Your video did work. Very nice.
Yay, it's working.
Yay, and it's not all split in three places or whatever happened that one time. Did you get a new place? Is it all done?
We found a place and we're under contract.
Nice.
Yay.
Contract is fun.
You should be out there by November 11th.
Oh, my. Wow. So are you going to go to BlizzCon?
So far, that is the plan.
That sounds like that's going to be a little tight.
Well, so we close on this place on the 12th.
Yeah.
So we have to be out of here October 12th. We're going to be staying with Mark's mother.
Yeah.
And yeah.
That sounds like a big fun time.
Wow.
So yeah. There's a big transition point in there. So we're just going to be hanging out. So I don't see why we couldn't go. It's just a matter of getting somebody to watch the kids.
Sure. Mm-hmm. It'll be a nice little break before the storm, you know, before you gotta things get real crazy until you're all settled in.
It's like a 5-6 hour drive from here. I'm going to guess it's a lot longer from Denver.
Oh yeah. I'm not driving to BlizzCon.
Yeah,
it'd be fun because that does include a Vegas pit stop, but can't do it.
Because from Denver to me is what, like 6 hours? What
8 hours.
It? 8 hours? Yeah. So from Salt Lake to me, so it's like 20 hours or something for you.
It would be, right. It would be basically, 10 hours to Vegas, spend the night in Vegas, get up the next day, drive, and I'd get to, it'd be 6-7 hours.
Oof, that's
with
rough.
Traffic willing, 6 or 7 hours to.
So about 16, Arch 17 County. Hours total or something.
Yeah.
See, and it only takes us about, if I drive it, it's about 12 total. To go to Orange County. However, I will also fly.
We're going to drive Nerdtacular.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Yay.
You should be a bit.
We're going to bring the kids too.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yay.
Holy crap. Finally, I get to meet these children.
Yes.
That's right. That you've only heard stories about.
Yeah, I've only heard tale and rumor. Well, all right. We're excited to do recommendals today. I'm going to just admit right up top that I forgot what our topic was, so I just did a thing. You? Yeah, what was it?
I think we should just have a recording of. I'm just going to admit right off the top that I don't know what the.
Because I really don't. This week. I don't even remember, but tell us what it was again.
So it's Something is Destroyed.
Uh-huh.
And the title must contain at least four words. So it's at least four words long.
Damn it. Okay, I got half.
That's all right. That's all right.
Try to guess which half I got right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into it. Brian, you got a clip here for yours. Do you have any setup for it?
I do. This is a movie that came out in 2013 originally, and a second part was added to it later on. So it's like a two-part movie that the first part of which came out in 2013.
Okay.
And it's a documentary.
Ooh. Oh, I like documentaries.
Mm-hmm. And it may have come up on the show before. I'm thinking it's possible, but we'll see. We'll see.
All right. Well, here it is. I'll play it. Sit tight.
It started with Irving Azoff, I guess. And he's been making calls since 1980. Trying to get this thing going again.
He called me a few more times, Irving did, and said, Don and Glenn and Joe are going to be part of a benefits show up in Aspen.
We got together in Aspen. I believe it was in February. And Irving Azoff and myself and Glenn and Peter Lopez, his manager, had lunch and discussed it. And then we had a meeting with Joe.
And it seemed like the magic was still there.
Okay, I think I know.
All right.
I think it's that Eagles documentary.
That's exactly what it is. History of the Eagles, which is a two-part documentary. Mm. Good job there with the Joe and Don and Glenn references.
Yeah. And I've seen a chunk of it. I never finished it, but it was all ringing a bell. So, and then the names.
So what was destroyed? The band?
Eagles. Yeah.
Yeah, the band.
the first half of the movie. I mean, basically, like I said, it's two parts, and the first one is from 1971 when they formed all the way until they broke up after the long run, and talking about the destruction of the Eagles. And then the second part is the reformation, the Hell Freezes Over concerts and stuff like that.
So Brian, I know you're saying words, but I'm looking at the video and I can't stop looking at your cat.
Oh. What's she doing?
Yeah, it's bath time.
She up to something over there?
She's just cleaning herself.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, vajayjay. Got to get Hold that on. Going.
So, you know, if you could do this, wouldn't you? You know?
I don't know. Now that you ask. I don't know if I would.
What's great is if you can distract her, then she'll sit there with her legs straight up for a little while and not realize it's up there. Hey, Inara. What you doing? How's it going?
Good? I'm a companion. I'm getting on my little ship on the side of the Firefly. Awesome.
Anyway, History of the Eagles, it's on Netflix, and it's a long movie because it's the two-part thing. It's like 3.5 hours total, but watch the first 2 hours. And I always kind of consider the Eagles like one of those solid bands, but not like, all right, yeah, it's, you know, they were part of that LA music scene, and I like them well enough. And
they have a few songs where you're just like, man, those were the best freaking songs. God,
they really were. Yeah. They totally were. And new appreciation for the Eagles. And man, anytime Joe Walsh is on screen, the dude is just he's just so fun to watch because he's so goofy. Yeah. And anyway.
I like their younger stuff because you get to see him.
I've never seen him in concert. And this was all, by the way, this is all filmed before Glenn Frey passed away. Well, he passed away earlier this year. So obviously it was.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's good though.
I've seen him in concert.
Have you really?
My mom and I went about 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah?
Wow.
Oh, that's cool. And did they, let me guess, Hotel California, that was there.
Yeah.
Life in the Fast Lane.
Life in the Fast Lane.
Average Guy song.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Ordinary Average Guy.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that was a good song.
Take It Easy, Witchy Woman, Peaceful Easy Feeling.
Oh, Witchy Woman. That's with Elaine on Seinfeld dances, the Witchy Woman.
Right.
That's awesome. All right. I'm going to need to finish that series of two things.
It's really, really good.
Hold on. Wasn't it supposed to be 5 words per?
No, four.
Oh, four. Okay. Four or more.
All right. Four or more. That's what it was.
History All right. of the Eagles.
Mine is one or less. So here's A lot of stuff gets destroyed, though, so I have it in spades on that. Yeah. See if you guys can figure it out.
Okay, so what do you call yourself? Huh? Como se llama?
Antonio Montana. And you? What you call yourself?
Where'd you learn to speak the English, Tony?
In a school. And my father, he was from the United States. Yeah, just like you, you know. He was a Yankee. He used to take me a lot to the movies, you know. I learned. I watched the guys like Humphrey Bogart, James Cagney. They teach me to talk. I like those guys. I always know one day I'm coming here, United States.
All right.
The film is called Say Hello to My Little Friend.
Ah, four letters or more.
There you
four
go,
words
right.
Or more. Nicely
Does
done.
Does this movie hold up at all?
All right. So that's what I'm here to report. I'm a fan of quote-unquote gangster movies, whatever they're presented as. Mm-hmm. I like Goodfellas. I like, you know, The Sopranos, which was obviously a TV show, but I like that kind of stuff. And I'm not sure it holds up entirely. It's very obvious at this point that this was filmed when it was filmed, scored when it was scored, and directed when it was directed. And I think our visual tastes and stuff have changed so drastically that a lot of it's kind of weird. Scarface, by the way.
His accent feels weird.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know enough Cuban people to say it's even close. I don't know. I know that his co-star who plays his best friend growing up, who came to America with him, he's an actual Cuban-born actor. Mm. And I think his accent's different than this thing that he's doing. So... I think it probably is a little out there. I mean, obviously, it's remembered for him doing, you know, lots of take it easy.
Right, lots of cocaine, lots of shooting.
Sure. Cocaine. Robert Loggia playing a Cuban guy is not quite doing it for me, you know, things like that. But on the whole, though, there's moments. Like, it's a pretty gritty thing. I said this on Twitter yesterday. One thing you notice about 70s movies, mostly action movies, is all the blood looks like strawberry jam.
Mm-hmm.
It's so stupid. Like, it just is it doesn't make me go, ooh, blood at all. It just makes me go, oh, worst.
Like, oh, we just helped you by getting that weird stuff out of your bloodstream.
Yeah. That's like, you see my grandma making it and jarring it and keeping it for the summer. Like, it's just so dumb. But you know, whatever. It was what was this, 82 or something?
Yeah.
And it's still, you know, he chews up the scenery and is interesting to watch. And there's an intensity there. There's a scene where he dances with Michelle Pfeiffer that mm-hmm. makes me want to jump off a cliff and end it all. It's the worst, most
really?
Uncomfortable, oh, wow. stupid dance scene you've ever seen. I clipped it out. I'll put it on Vine later or something because it needs to be seen to be appreciated. Oh, it's wow. really, really bad.
I'm gonna go. I'm gonna make an admission here that I've never seen Scarface. It's one of those movies. It's like, oh yeah, everybody. You should always see it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Never seen it.
I think it's worth saying. HBO Now is where it's at. Mm. So it's streaming on that. I found it kind of randomly. And when I saw it, I went, oh, now what were Nicole's rules again? I remember breaking stuff or something.
Yeah, you can always pull them up in text,
yeah.
in messages.
Yeah, they're in there, but I'm lazy. So I didn't do that. And went ahead and just watched it and hoped for the best. But anyway.
Siri might even be able to tell you.
I got it half right. And I'm proud of it. All right. HBO Now, Scarface, check it out. Nicole, what is... Oh, and it's a sweary... It is one of the sweariest movies I've ever heard, and I didn't think they were quite that sweary in 82, but man, woo! It's just one long F-bomb. That's got to be on that list we were talking about the other day. The most F-bombs or whatever.
Mm.
It's got to be on there. Anyway.
Oh, it is. It is way up there. I remember looking at the list yesterday, and Scarface was, I think, in the top 10.
That one's
for some reason, I'm thinking that Blink-182 took their name from 182 times the F-bomb is dropped or something like that. I can't remember.
Oh, they did? I didn't know that.
I thought there was some... If it's not the truth, then there was definitely a rumor circulating that was the case.
All the F-bombs. Right there like that. All right, Nicole, it's your turn. Lay it on us.
So before I give you my clip, in my research for a movie, I came across a movie on Netflix. It's a TV show. It says season one. I haven't watched it yet, but it's called Dead Set.
Oh, I heard about this, yeah.
And it is like they're kind of Big Brother stuck in a bubble while like zombies things are going on. Mm. I know Tom's coming on. He just got in the chat room. But he did him and Len Peralta did a comic called 10 State. And I'm like, they stole their idea.
Yeah, it does sounds real familiar, doesn't it?
Huh. To me. And I love 10 State, by the way. Great comic.
Yeah.
You can still get it at Tom America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm promoting you, Tom.
Good stuff.
But yeah, I am going to watch this Dead Set, but I was curious if either of you had heard of this show.
I'd heard of it, but I have not seen it, and I didn't know really what to expect from it. It sounded like some sort of apocalyptic deal, which I'm into, so I'll probably check it out at some point.
So I'm curious if Tom has seen it either. So anyway, to my clip, that's not my recommendal, because I haven't actually sat down and watched it, though. It is Netflix is telling me I will give it 5 stars. Netflix is pretty good about
pretty accurate.
They are pretty good at.
Mine's all jacked up. Mine's busted because of
FilmSec breaks our Netflix.
Yeah, it's ruined Netflix for us.
So once I removed all the kids shows, once they started doing profiles, everything went back to normal.
That's what we need to do. Is we just need to create a FilmSec profile. Because then we'll probably get some good recommendations, too, for stuff we should film sack.
Yeah, I'm lazy. Sounds like work. Sounds like something I have to do. I don't want to do it.
All right. Well, that's all. I think, Brian, you should do it, because Netflix recommendals, look, I'm saying the recommendals, are pretty good. So here you are. Here's my clip. I would win the game with this one.
All right.
It's already mutated in the human form. Shoot it!
Take that, you mutated son of a bitch! You space bastard! You kill my pine!
There you go.
That's turning the Twin Pines into the Lone Pine.
Yeah. That's Back to the Future 3.
First one.
Is it the first one? Oh, I thought it was the it's the people in the barn.
Yeah.
Right, never mind. I thought it was the third one because it sounded all westerny with a gun and stuff.
Right, right.
But all three streaming on Netflix.
Way to pick a clip too that didn't feature Michael J. Fox or Christopher Lloyd, because that would have been a dead giveaway. Well done.
Yeah.
So the thing that was destroyed was, of course, the pine and his mailbox.
Oh, there was so much destroyed. I mean, the I guess at the end of all three, the DeLorean is destroyed, and
I liked the first one better.
The career of Marty's first girlfriend, the actress who played Marty's girlfriend in the first movie, was destroyed, and you got Elizabeth Shue.
Yep. Hey, that first one is awesome. The second one is garbage.
No, it is not. The second one's my favorite.
You're crazy. Third one is better than the second one.
Oh. You guys are both wrong. It's okay.
I freaking hate the second one. But so this is all three are streaming now, right?
All three are streaming on Netflix, in case you didn't know. Mm. I love Back to the Future series.
Yeah, me too. It's good
There's
stuff.
There's documentary streaming as well that Mark and I watched called Back in Time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a fun one too.
Yeah.
Saw that on top on the recommendations list at the top of Netflix and was wondering how that was. So pretty good, huh?
Yeah. It explores the culture of, you know, the fandom of Back to the Future. And of course, they spend a lot of time into the people that make DeLoreans, DeLorean time machines, and they interview all the actors. It's a fun little documentary. I highly recommend it if you are a fan of the show, of the movie.
Does it feature is Doc Brown and Marty in there at all, like interviews and things like that?
I believe Doc Brown is in it, or Christopher Lloyd.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember seeing Michael J. Fox. It's been a while since I watched the documentary.
Mm.
I know the first Jennifer's in it.
Oh, really?
Jennifer One?
Yeah.
Jennifer One's in it? Oh, now I got to watch it because I had a crush on her.
Doc, we got to get a different girlfriend for me for the second movie.
Marty, where we're going, you don't need girlfriend.
Well done. That was awesome recommendal. We should probably roll the dice for next week's. What do we got?
Yep, let's do it.
Okay. Not that I'll adhere to it, but you know.
Right, yeah.
Right. Brian and I will.
Yeah, you guys will carry the banner.
Can I tell you how excited I am to live close to Brian?
Because
I'm really looking forward to game nights.
So. Yes, game nights are going to be awesome. Especially
I hear the game nights.
My brand new game table. It's going to be so fun. So fun. The
gay nights I've heard about in Denver are amazing.
Was it bad dinner parties we're going to be having?
Yeah. Sloppy dinner parties.
Sloppy dinner parties.
Gay sloppy dinner parties. Sounds good. Real good.
Which my original title for Sex in the City, the movie.
Oh, good. I thought that was, hold on, don't I have a clip of that? I thought that was...
Bad gay movies.
Oh, I thought you were going to play the Jizz Whiz.
That works too, doesn't it? Anyway, sorry. All right, continue there. All right. Okay.
So the characters need to be supernatural. Okay. Mm. So characters are supernatural, and the setting is in Europe,
okay.
South America.
Mm. Or one of those two places.
Europe or South America?
Europe or South America.
Okay, not Europe and South America. Yeah. Right. That makes it exponentially harder.
It would be hard. It would be like, who is it? Charlize Theron?
Yeah.
Maybe a travel movie with her?
I don't know.
You know what a you travel say? Movie? For someone who
supernatural
struggles...
travel movie?
For some people that, or for someone who struggles with actor names sometimes, you nailed the Charlize Theron pronunciation.
Charlize Theron.
Yeah, well done. All right. And I know you're looking forward to that Mad Max sequel with her.
Can't wait to watch Van Helsing.
Yeah.
What?
I am looking forward to it.
Of course you are, because it's great. It's the best thing ever. That's why.
No, let's not go that far.
Nicole is on Nicole Spag on Twitter. Follow her there. She will surely retweet the things we talked about today. Nicole, good luck with all of the planning and the getting ready, and we'll talk to you soon.
She's just excited to finally see some two-digit temperatures.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sitting here. I'm sweating, and it's God. All, I have a sweat mustache, and it's like, this is...
Oh, man.
Love a good sweat stash. All right. That's that, Brian. That means time. The time is now.
The time is now for Tom.
The place
the Tom
is here.
Is now.
This is weird. Hold, why is your video? That's very weird. Oh, I see why. Never mind. Not you. That's not you. It's me.
It's not, yeah.
Let's add Tom to this call, and let's get that part of the show happening. Let's talk about some technology with Tom Merritt, if I can find his... There.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
Oh, look at that, everybody at home. Tom Merritt reading a fine copy of Ten State with a alternate cover by Scott
Johnson.
Oh, hi,
didn't see you there.
Yeah.
Didn't realize that I'd accepted your Skype call.
Oh, yes. Look at you representing for the Cubs. What's that about?
This is the Hiroshima Cubs? Carp.
Oh. Is it really?
Yes.
That's amazing.
What?
Yeah. It's the carp, dude.
It looks like the Reds, the Cincinnati Reds logo.
Champions this year, by the way. League champions, not postseason champions yet.
Why did a country that's so into their fish, why the carp?
Because they're so into their fish. We just answered your own question, Scott. It just go carp.
Go with a better fish. Carps are gross, man. They're like garbage fish.
Have you met a Hiroshima carp?
No. Now that you mentioned it, he's got three eyes.
Well, yeah, I wasn't going to go there, but kind of... Kind of hard not to.
I went there. Went there for you. anyway, it's good to have you here, Tom Merritt. Of course, the proprietor of Daily Tech News Show, which I'm on Wednesdays, which I'm very much looking forward to. Comes on the show, talks about the latest and greatest in technology news. What's going on this week? What's happening?
Do you want the good news or the bad news?
Man, I'm tempted by bad news.
Well, then you'll be sad to know that BlackBerry CEO John Chen put out a statement today. No more hardware from BlackBerry.
Really?
What? Yeah. Really?
No more BlackBerries coming out. Well, they haven't been RIM in a while. Internal hardware development will be outsourced. So they'll do what what Nokia has been doing, and outsource BlackBerry hardware to be made. So you may still see BlackBerry hardware in the marketplace, but it won't be made by BlackBerry.
So are they going to, so what are they making? Just the software?
That's just the software. Yeah. Mm. And BlackBerry Enterprise Server is still profitable for them. It's still huge. Yeah. They'll focus on security. They'll focus on their modified Android that they were delivering. That will loosen it up for them to provide more of these tools to other third-party vendors like Samsung, et cetera. BlackBerry made hardware is no more.
That's so crazy. So if they don't make hardware... I'm just trying to think. I mean, this probably means a wave of layoffs or something, right?
Yeah, they didn't address that today. They did address that they lost $372 million last quarter.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So they gambled on continuing hardware and it didn't work. So John Chen said, that's it. We needed to make, what did he say? We needed to make five, we needed to sell 5 million phones for the handset business to be profitable. They didn't do it. Mm-hmm. So that's the end of that. Mm-hmm. And they'll focus on being a security and services company.
Okay. I guess I sort of always felt like this day might be coming, but I just didn't, I don't know. It seems weird that they have a thing to do without the hardware.
Now, yeah. Yvang in the chat room just said no more BlackBerry Enterprise servers. And I hope I didn't misspeak earlier when I said, or hope I didn't say it wrong. They will continue to do BlackBerry Enterprise servers.
All right. And if they
they're
do,
not just making no more handsets.
Phone,
yeah,
so, no more phone
yeah,
software.
I'm saying hardware because if most people think of hardware, they think of BlackBerry. But yes, BlackBerry Enterprise servers still sticking around. Don't worry about that.
So if they're doing that, what's feeding off of that? Like, what is using those enterprise servers? BlackBerries or no?
Oh, yeah. Lots of enterprises. Lots of companies contract with BlackBerry to provide the enterprise server for secure messaging and all kinds of other things.
And so there are other applications outside of the BlackBerry phone ecosystem that enterprise
yeah,
server
and they
does.
They have made apps for Android and iOS, so you can even deploy across platforms.
Okay, so this is like if I don't know, this is like when Microsoft came up with Word and Office and, you know, Excel and stuff. It's like they've got this other product that isn't necessarily contingent
yeah,
upon the operating system.
It's a little bit farther than that in that it would probably be as if Microsoft said, we're not making Surface tablets or Windows.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll license people, I guess, to make Surface tablets and maybe Windows. Nobody's going to license a BlackBerry OS.
No,
point.
Why would they? Mm-hmm. So what does that company look like if you had to guess in 5 years? And I know you're not like a guess guy and you'd prefer to have hard data here, but if you had to guess where BlackBerry is, in 5 years from now, are they around? Do they exist?
If John Chen succeeds, BlackBerry will be an enterprise services company. And I would say there's a good likelihood they get acquired by someone like Salesforce, IBM, HP to fold into cloud services because there's some really good software out there that people still rely on.
Yeah, and you could also argue that IBM's a good model for this transition. They kind of did the same thing. It took a longer time and they were...
And J.C. Calhoun reminded me of something in the chat room. Thank you, J.C. BlackBerry still is in a lot of cars, in a lot of embedded systems because they have QNX.
Oh, right. How is that happening with new stuff or is that just all legacy?
Oh yeah, no, they're still developing as far as I know. Oh, so, right. Yeah, they're getting some stiff competition in that space from Android and Apple, of course. Yeah. But there's still a lot of embedded systems that want to be cross-platform and QNX is still a pretty tight operating system. So, especially for embedded and embedded in other things beyond just cars. So they could get into Internet of Things with that, but yeah, essentially BlackBerry is becoming a software and services company.
Well, have luck, BlackBerry. Have luck is all we have to say to you. What was the good news today?
The good news is that Otto, O-T-T-O, which is owned by Uber. Sometimes even I just can't help but laugh. Otto says that by next year, they will have 15 trucks carrying freight for customers. And the key to this is that Otto has autonomous truck technology. So some of the trucks will be autonomous. They'll still have a driver sitting inside with an engineer because this is still sort of in the beta phase, in the testing phase. But they also have permits to carry cargo and they've filed a permit to haul freight. And they'll be providing navigation, mapping, and tracking systems as well to independent drivers. So some of these auto-branded freight trucks will be tests of autonomous trucks, but they'll also be trying to get drivers to use their system of matching trucks with freight and providing the most efficient route, which is kind of like Uber for freight.
For large cargo, yeah.
And that is something that the big trucking companies, things like XPO Logistics and C.H. Robinson are already moving into. Mm-hmm. So it's challenging for them to try to compete in that space.
Yeah. Huh. I wonder how they'll
really
do.
Cool.
It's super neat, though. The idea that, Brian, you'd have a warehouse full of crap you need to move.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's like if it's something that's too big to ship or too inconvenient to ship or, you know, whatever, then you can say, all right, I need this trade show booth to get sent over to to get taken over to Vegas. You know, and that's always been, when I was working in the trade show industry, that was always such a big pain in the butt, was hauling the booth and all the materials and the projectors and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So that would have been perfect for them.
Great.
That's interesting.
Just have them come pick them up.
And again, it's not just Otto, but XPO and C.H. Robinson also trying to make this easier. And I could see Otto possibly taking that approach of like, hey, small shippers like Brian Ebbett, you know, just go in here, put in your poundage, your tonnage, and we'll tell you when the next truck can show up and pick it up.
It's amazing. I'm going to put myself in a wooden crate and freight myself to
Indiana Vegas. Jones.
Borneo.
Borneo. Even better.
Yeah, even better. So I like this move toward these sorts of things. I just wonder if that industry... Well, it sounds like you've already said that these big freight carriers are starting to move into that stuff anyway, but I wonder if that was an industry where this sort of creeped up on them, you know? Like the taxi industry. They're sort of just going about their 100-year-old business, doing it the way it's always been done, and then suddenly, oh, disruptor.
It feels like that is not, in fact, man, the homeless problem in LA really is out of hand. Sorry about that. If you're listening to audio, there's just a guy wandering around behind me.
I like that he's kind of wearing a shirt, more of the shirt over his face than over the rest of him.
Tommy, feed him once. They're like cats. They just keep coming back.
Don't worry.
Wasn't he supposed to leave by now?
I think the knee-jerk reaction would think, well, trucking must be falling behind. And this is something that Big Jim, who does the Tech and Trade podcast and is a frequent person who writes into Daily Tech News Show, he's involved in that logistics industry. I would like to hear his opinion on this. But from the outside, reading this Reuters article, it seems like they aren't that far behind, that they are at least attempting to stay ahead of that game.
Yeah, that's good. I think that, you know, I wish Uber would have had more, not opposition, but I wish the taxi industry or the people moving industry would have been a little more ahead of the curve, so that now it's not all about people losing medallions and people losing their jobs.
And taxis weren't a monopoly, but they were in a very comfortable place. They had all sort of, stopped fighting with each other and worked with the city to create a stable ecosystem that you didn't need to compete and innovate in to succeed. And that's the difference with freight hauling. Doesn't seem to be that comfortable. It seems like there's still some healthy competition there.
It's good lessons to be learned. Later today, we'll talk about these and many more issues on the Daily Tech News Show. What's coming up later today? Well, we have a guest for part of it, don't we, or something?
Yeah, Paul Spain's going to join us and talk to us about what's been happening at Microsoft Ignite this week. A lot of cloud services, things announced. Interesting that Microsoft is adding a bunch of AI to its sales client software, and if you're not into sales, that's not that interesting, except that they're putting machine learning into it, and that's something Salesforce is doing with their own, and Salesforce was also a sponsor of Microsoft Ignite. So anyway, Paul will help make sense of it for the rest of us.
All right, well, good. Very much looking forward to it. That's the Daily Tech News Show today, 2:30 Mountain Time, live. You can find that at diamondclub.tv if you are watching video, alphageekradio.com for audio, and dailytechnewsshow.com for all your other details. Tom, anything else you'd like to mention before we head out?
No, but if you are a DTNS patron, go and check out the post on our upcoming reward tweaks. We're adding a few rewards in there, and we'd like to hear your opinions on them before we roll them out.
Nice. I like that a lot. Tom Merritt, everybody. Ace Detect on Twitter. We'll talk to you later and say hi to that homeless weirdo in your house. Okay, bye.
Feed that boy some Pop-Tarts.
I thought he was gone. I didn't know he was still there.
Yeah, I didn't even realize it. I guess, you know, night attack goes late. You're not going to want to try and get to an airplane.
Yeah, that's
good. Or drive back up to Oakland.
Tuesday nights are always a little hungover, I think, for them.
Right.
That's going to do it for today's program.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tight ship.
I love this hour and a half. It's the 90 minutes. What we're supposed to aim for, folks, when we hit it, it feels real good. I notice Mondays, Wednesdays, sometimes Thursdays, we do a pretty good job. Tuesdays, it's hard. Mm-hmm. We have these very... you know, interesting guests. One of them.
We don't want to cut off, right? We don't want to interrupt them.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, listen, we're trying to do our best with what we have. Patreon.com/TMS is how you can support the show. Big thanks to everybody who does. This show is streamed every day via alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. Big thanks to those guys for being our live carriers. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. All things lead there. You can leave us voicemails, 801-471-0462. Or you can find us on Twitter at MorningStream, at Scott Johnson, at Coverville. And if you have thoughts that can only be sent via email, why that exists too, themorningstream@gmail.com. I think that's it.
All right.
I can't think of anything else. We're going to award the film festival tomorrow.
Tomorrow, the award and announcements of sorts,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we got plans. We got stuff going on. Yeah. But as is the tradition here on the show, we always end it with a little bit of a cover song, and you are going to play me one.
I am exactly going to do that thing. This goes out to Helen, who says, my husband Jeremy is an avid TMS fan, and we listen to the show regularly on road trips together. After about 10 years in the same industry, Jeremy is now taking the bold step of quitting his job and going back to school in an entirely different field, and I want him to know that I'm so proud of him for taking this step. Please play a song for Jeremy that is kind of geeky or offbeat and is related to going back to school. If the song relates in some way to Michael Jackson, Pomplamoose, Weird Al Yankovic, or Seether, so much the better. I know this would mean a lot to him and appreciate you considering this request. Sincerely, Helen. And of course, yeah, absolutely, Helen. And Jeremy, school. Man, I can't think of any songs that are about a character named Jeremy who's in a school, who did anything in class today.
He might have been called the Wicked.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Mm. But I'm not playing that. I am playing a cover that is, it's a cover that does relate to going back to school and is a cover of a sweet little song covered by Bree Sharp. This is so cool. And I love this version of it because it's taking a very sweet song and putting a different kind of edge to it. This is from Bree Sharp's B-Sides collection. It's a cover of the song by the White Stripes entitled We Are Gonna Be Friends.
Here it is. We'll see you guys tomorrow for Therapy Thursday and more. Come on back.
Fall is here. Hear the yell. Back to school. Ring the bell. Brand new shoes. Walking blues. Climb the fence. Books and pens. I can tell that we are gonna be friends. I can tell that we are gonna be friends. Susie Lee, through the park and by the tree, we will rest upon the ground and look at all the bugs we found. Safely walk to school without a sound. Safely walk to school without a sound. Here we are, no one else. We walk to school all by ourselves. There's dirt on our uniforms from chasing all the ants and worms. We clean up and now it's time to learn. We clean up and now it's time to learn. Numbers, letters, learn to spell. Nouns and books and show and tell. Playtime, we will throw the ball back to class, through the hall. Teacher marks our hide against the wall. Teacher marks our hide against the wall. We don't notice any time. Side by side in every class. Teacher thinks that I sound funny, but she likes the way you sing. Tonight I'll dream while I'm in bed, and silly thoughts go through my head about the bugs and alphabet. And when I wake tomorrow, I'll bet that you and I will walk together again. 'Cause I can tell that we are gonna be friends. I can tell that we are gonna be friends. I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
I will miss your ugly face around here.
Yeah.